Need a website that drives real results? AmericanEagle.com delivers end-to-end digital solutions, from expert web design and development to performance-driven digital marketing. Visit AmericanEagle.com today to get started with your digital transformation.
Every Thursday at this time, we talk to Richard Roper, and this morning, it's all about a new report on porch pirates.
Porch pirates is a new thing, right? Relatively new thing. And these are the, you see a story almost every night, it seems, on the news where someone shares their Ring camera of these Grinches coming up to the front door, brazenly stealing packages. Mm-hmm. And the great news, though, Bob, I wanted to share this, as there's a new research out, and the report ranking metro areas based on the estimated total value of packages. And Chicago's number one.
We beat New York.
Like the Bears, we are outperforming expectations.
Wow.
It's kind of sad, though. So in a year, $254 million lost, 6.5 million incidents, then New York City's two, Miami, Houston, and Baltimore. So it's nice to see some of the old school cities still leading the league. But, you know, when people see this, you know, you can't help but thinking, gosh, golly gee, you know, it's Christmas and they're stealing packages. And I always say to people, I go, well, do you think there's like a council on thieving scoundrels who get together and say, oh, you know, let's Christmas, let's just take a break? No,
no,
they're thieving scoundrels.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. Yeah. You mentioned the Ring. More people have that now, so you'd think there'd be fewer porch pirates. Is it just that this is getting reported now, or are there actually more now?
I think that's one of the things. It's, you see it on your Ring camera, but you know, you're not there all the time monitoring that to say, like, you know, get off my porch. So you see it happening. In the past, you might have thought a package was lost in transit. So, you know, there are the tips. You want to track your deliveries, you know, leave a note for your driver asking them to put it in the back. There are lock boxes, you know, you can do. Of course, then you have to give the information to drivers, which I think we can trust most drivers. We know that. But then you're giving out information. And then you have like places like, you know, you go into a Walgreens or some other places, or, you know, they have like those lockers you can do. Or you could be home. But a lot of times the packages, you know, they might be sent to you from someone else, so you can't track the delivery. The one thing I would say, Bob, and I know people enjoy these stories, you hear every once in a while about somebody who gets their retribution, who gets their revenge, and they leave something a little odious, if you will, in a package for pork. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that, because they know where you live. So, you know, if they steal something from your porch and then they open it up and it's Fido's, you know, droppings,
they'll come back mad.
They will come back mad. So don't do that, even though it's tempting.
It's a good thing this research firm who did the new report didn't deliver it to your doorstep.
Or we're
someone
still waiting
would have
on
taken
the results.
That.
There might be other cities, they just didn't get the results delivered. So we might not really. But for now, we're number one, as they say on the TV, we're in the hunt for the postseason. We're in the hunt.
The other item people are talking about, the parking ban here. It's that time of year again, but there are some restrictions on parking that a lot of people don't know about. The winter ban is all over the news. I think everyone understands that. Well, that's kind of complicated, too, because in some places, the way I understand it, it's about when there's 2 inches or more of snow. In other places, it doesn't matter if it snows.
Well, it says, you know, it says no parking 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. December 1st to April 1st, or when snow is over 2 inches. Well, it's one of those two things all the time, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
that sign is a little confusing.
All those signs, it's like Sudoku crossed with Wordle layered on top of the New York Times crossword puzzle. You've all done this, right? Where you get out of your car and you just stand there trying to decipher the signs. It's like in MASH where they had all those, you know, 20 miles this way, 40 miles that way. So what I did for you, Bob, and for your listeners, I put together a kind of a compendium of all the parking restrictions if you come into the city that you should know about. Are you ready?
This is besides snow.
Yeah, okay.
Thing. Okay.
So you probably know all these because you're a veteran, but you have to park with right wheels within 12 inches of the curb facing the same direction as traffic. You have to stay 20 feet from stop signs, 15 feet from hydrants. And if your vehicle is over 6 feet tall, 20 feet from any crosswalk, alley, or commercial driveway. You can't park on sidewalks, parkways, crosswalks, bus lanes, bike lanes, or in alleys unless you're doing active loading. Now, you need a city sticker if you're here for more than 30 days. And street cleaning signs will also create temporary no parking windows. And meters follow their own schedules. It's different in the loop than it is from different areas. And of course, if you're in a residential zone, you need those special permits.
You got to check ChatGPT and
are
ask
we good?
The question.
Now you know.
Yeah. And those first couple you mentioned, I'm going to put a ruler in my car, a tape tape measure.
Well, there's a lot of that where you park, and then as soon as you park, it says, oh, then there's like 15 minutes only, keep your lights flashing, and then, you know, somebody gets out of the car and reads it, and then somebody, and then, you know, now you're, when you're in the restaurant, you're like, oh, I need 30 more minutes, so you're on the app trying to save the thing. So it's kind of like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome when you're out there every day. When you leave your house in the safety of your garage, your driveway, and your car, and you head into the city, you got to be on high alert, man.
Of course, anybody who has been to New York and checked those signs probably is thankful ours are a little less cluttered, unless they changed them in New York. It used to be the worst and most complicated, remember?
Yeah, you know, I foolishly, years and years ago, I went to New York. I was actually going to interview Phil Collins. It was very exciting, you know, and he was doing his, you know, No Jacket Required tour or something like that. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rent a car at Kennedy Airport, and I'm going to drive.
That's
and
brave.
And then I'm going to go to Long Island to see him play, you know, in concert. And it was like a Seinfeld episode where you just, at some point, you just say, would you like this car? Because I don't know what to do with it. And you know, forget it. You know, you either take the subway or you walk in New York.
Yeah.
Or take one of those. They still have some of the most pleasant cab drivers in the world.
Old school, I hope. I hope they're still driving in New York City.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know if you in your Sun Times career ever crossed paths with Bruce Dold.
Sure.
Bruce passed away. He was 70 years old. He was a consummate newspaper man. I worked with him a little bit on a couple of projects. He was smart. He was kind. He was classy. And he was a Pulitzer Prize winner at the Trib for, what, four decades?
Yeah, I remember him. I was, of course, at the Sun-Times, but that was the day where he was a lot more socializing, I think, between the two newspapers, and the cliche about going to the Billy Goat was true. And listen, there are still a lot of great editors, but there was that time when Bruce Dold was editor. There were a lot of editors at both papers. You know, you remember Jim Hogue, you know, back in the day at the Sun-Times, and Ray Coffey is another name some people might know, but they kind of, men and women, but they kind of reminded you of Katherine Graham at the Washington Post, or the Ben Bradley types. You know, first of all, a lot of them had huge reporting experience before they became editors. When I started at the Sun-Times, Larry Green had been a correspondent in Vietnam. So they had covered Watergate and things like that. And Bruce Dold had that kind of thing where you really felt like you were going to learn. And there was time for that, for careers to develop, too. A lot of times now you see young journalists thrown into the deep end of the pool right off the bat, you know, right out of college. Oh, they've got a social media following, they're influencers, they should cover the Pentagon, they should cover the White House, they should cover City Hall. And under editors like Bruce Dold, you could kind of work your way up, you know, and be an editorial assistant and learn from veteran reporters. But also, you know, those news meetings, they were like in the movie Spotlight, if people remember, or All the President's
Men. Love those movies.
Those 10 a.m. news meetings were, you know, those were like documentary accurate when you see those in those films, you know, where you'd learn from those editors.
Yeah, journalists with their sleeves rolled up, and guys like Bruce Dold, mentors as well. You don't get a lot of that anymore.
Yeah, to this day. You know, I there was a guy named Bob Surratt. I learned a lot of television from...
What not to do?
In the 1990s. And at one point he said, stop looking at the teleprompter and look at me. I'm talking to you. And I'm like, oh, geez. You know, it was a different time.
That was just because I had to have my ego fed. Richard Roper, sponsored by AmericanEagle.com. Web design, development, and digital marketing agency, AmericanEagle.com. Thank you, Richard. We'll talk to you next Thursday.